teammates now hooking up in a draft to make a pass. Allgaier and Sammy Smith team up on Chandler Smith.
Justin Allgaier just continues to peck away at it and take them one at a time into the top five, continuing to close in. Now he's going to try and snuggle up on the back bumper of the Sheldon Creed car.
That's exactly the task at hand for Justin Allgaier, but he's got to make up about two car lengths in order to do that. Chandler Smith had a major slide and wiggle last time out of turn number four, which created that shuffle of position.
Remember now, second place running, Nemechek, then Creed, then Allgaier, Sammy Smith, Chandler Smith. They are running almost 3 seconds behind the race leader, Carson Quappel, Dave. Carson doing everything he can, but he also knows the tank is slowly but surely running dry.
Well, right now he's a master of multitasking, Jeff, because he's managing the gas, the brake, the steering wheel, while simultaneously doing a bit of a rain dance. He could use some help from Mother Nature.
Carson Quappel's getting some help from the lap car of Shane Van Gisbergen. While they continue to shuffle up from second on back, John Hunter Nemechek in that second spot sees Sheldon Creed behind him, and Justin Allgaier still trying to make his way to the front.
We'll get you back to the action in just a moment. First, let's pause 10 seconds for station identification on the Motor Racing Network.
You're listening to coverage of NASCAR on Real Country 1430 WRDN, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha. NASCAR coverage being brought to you by Martin Transport of Mondovi.
Motor Racing Network live at Michigan International Speedway, the NASCAR Xfinity Series racing the Cabo Wabo Tequila 250. I'm Alex Hayden alongside Jeff Striegel and Todd Gordon high atop the start-finish line. Dave Moody and Mike Bagley are out in the turns for us today, and up and down the pit lane are Steve Post and Chris Wilner.
With 22 laps to go and out front, a 21-year-old driver making career start number 7, and it's Carson Quappel at age 21 from Mooresville, North Carolina. He has the race comfortably in hand. That's the good news. His Sunoco fuel is running dry. That's the bad news. John Hunter Nemechek, Sheldon Creed, Justin Allgaier, and Sammy Smith complete the top five. Add to it, we've got weather closing in. Alex Hayden, 21 laps to go here and, this afternoon.
And a great race inside the top five, halfway down the back straightaway.
Justin Allgaier's there. He'll change lanes and pull to the inside of Sheldon Creed. Sammy Smith trying to come along for the ride as well. All this going on in a battle for third.
Well, there's no doubt that the fastest car on the racetrack right now has a number 7 on the side of it, and is Justin Allgaier, who is wheeling it for all it's worth. Right now, he rides right behind Sheldon Creed and John Hunter Nemechek.
Justin Allgaier with a lightning-fast Chevrolet Camaro and enough fuel to take full advantage of it. Joey Gase is off the pace at the exit of turn number 2, running down below the white line as that three-man battle heads down the backstretch.
Nemechek, Sheldon Creed, Justin Allgaier, that is the battle for third. Sammy Smith is in that battle as well, but he's lost about a car length, maybe two. Here's Allgaier going to test the waters to the inside of Creed. He won't find his way this time through three.
He's had a couple of opportunities, has Allgaier, to get to the inside of Creed, but Creed has the luxury of the draft behind his teammate, John Hunter Nemechek. This is second, third, and fourth in turn one.
Here they come into the 18-degree banking of turn one, a car length in between the first three, the second, third, and fourth place machines. Fifth place car is back a couple of more car lengths. Creed jumps to the bottom on Nemechek trying to make a move. There's nothing there.
Perhaps, maybe, this could be the battle for the win if Carson Quappel runs out of fuel, and they are slowly but surely catching the race leader Quappel, even though Carson's getting a draft from Shane Van Gisbergen's lap car.
Mike Bagley, you are exactly right. This group of cars is quickly running down the lead that Carson Quappel had. That lead beginning to evaporate. Chris Wilner, you can explain why, because Nemechek, Creed, Allgaier, they're wide open. What about for Carson Quappel?
Well, not so much for Carson Quappel. TJ Majors, his spotter, telling him to continue to run quarter throttle on the straightaways. They know the weather is impending. It's approaching. They have about 4 to 5 more laps until they need to come to pit road. They're hoping Mother Nature's skies open up before then. But right now, major fuel save for Carson Quappel as they continue to wait to see when they'll bring him down pit road, but he's going to be short.
And turns 3 and 4 are now under cloud cover, and that's a heavy cloud that is beginning to roll in. The rest of the racetrack in sunshine. Here's the race leader Quappel at the line. 18 laps to go. Second place, John Hunter Nemechek, with that draft beginning to close in even more. They are running a solid, what, 2/10 of a second a lap faster as they go to the corner.
That ominous dark cloud that's been looming larger with every lap, just about over the racetrack now. Not feeling any moisture yet, but Carson Quapel is begging for it, you know.
And it's gotten noticeably cooler as that cloud continues to inch its way over the speedway. Matter of fact, the shade from it is at the entrance of turn number 3. Here are the leaders in that cloud cover getting ready to burst back into the sunshine.
And we have been watching the radar. We've been watching this cell. It's evaporating as it gets to the racetrack. It's all but gone. Now, granted, we can look up and we can see that it's black and it may rain, but it's also evaporating at the same time.
And a challenge and change for third. Here comes Allgaier on the move.
The little Gator wants more. He goes to the outside. Powers around John Hunter Nemechek. Move Allgaier up a notch at the exit of 2.
What a move by Allgaier. Use the outside line to bypass John Hunter Nemechek. Now, it's Justin Allgaier in position number 2 as the leaders race their way off the end of the back straightaway.
How long can Quapel stay out there and run this tank dry? The answer is not any longer. He's going to give up the lead. Carson Quapel to pit road. Justin Allgaier will take the lead over John Hunter Nemechek and others. Carson Quapel, no choice, Chris Wilner, but to bring that Chevrolet to pit road.
They waited as long as they could, but the call from Andrew Overstreet is just give me about 10 seconds of fuel. They do so. It's about an 8, and he's down and away. But Carson Quapel, oh so close to making the miracle run here at Michigan.
But it's not over yet. There's still 16 laps to go in this thing. We don't know for sure that Allgaier can comfortably make it. Now that Allgaier's up front, he's the one burning the most fuel. Behind him, John Hunter Nemechek, Sheldon Creed, Sammy Smith, they too on a different pit strategy. They too having to nurse the Sunoco fuel tank.
What about for Justin Allgaier as he comes across the line with 15 laps to go? Career start 13 here this afternoon. Looking for win number 1 here this afternoon. He's in one.
If he's got any doubt about fuel mileage, he looks pretty confident right now because he is hammered down. He's already opened up about a 6-car length advantage with the lead.
That sets up a good battle for second between Nemechek, Creed, and Sammy Smith. Now the lap car of Shane Van Gisbergen is about 7 car lengths in front of race leader Justin Allgaier.
It's Van Gisbergen runs his line. Allgaier is trying to get a little closer to perhaps get a draft off of him to ease up on the fuel burning. But while Allgaier does that, second, third, and fourth are beginning to run down the race leader.
A tremendous battle for second, third, and fourth in and of itself, but you're right. Justin Allgaier now may have come out of the throttle just a little bit. The gap is beginning to shrink. John Hunter Nemechek now within 5, maybe 6 car lengths of Allgaier.
Handful of laps ago, Allgaier got around Nemechek and left him. Now, that pack from second, third, and fourth starting to gobble Allgaier back up again as some on-track strategy begins to play itself out.
And what we hear from pit road is these front-running cars all believe they have enough fuel to run the final 26 miles, 13 laps. Battles on for second. Sheldon Creed down to the inside on John Hunter Nemechek.
Takes it all the way down to the inside pit wall and will power past Nemechek at the entrance of turn number 1. John Hunter would like to cross over and mount the counterattack, but he hasn't got the horsepower. Creed pulls away on the back straightaway.
And that leaves John Hunter Nemechek and Sammy Smith to race for the third position. Sheldon Creed now is trying to set sail, track down race leader Justin Allgaier after Allgaier has just passed Shane Van Gisbergen.
Yeah, he did that about the time Sheldon Creed cleared Nemechek. Allgaier quickly went to the whip and got past the lap car now of Shane Van Gisbergen to put himself in between the first and second place cars. Creed now beginning to gap himself from the third and fourth place machines.
He has pulled away from John Hunter Nemechek. Nemechek falling back into the clutches of Smith as well. Front of the pack, it continues to be Justin Allgaier with a lap car of Shane Van Gisbergen between himself and the second place machine.
The temperature has dropped at least 10 degrees in about the last 10 minutes and the cloud cover in the ceiling has gotten very, very low. So much so that if it was in your neighborhood, your street lights would have come on. That's not deterred Allgaier. He is still hammered down with the point.
With 11 laps to go, he comes across the start-finish line enjoying the advantage. Creed, Nemechek, Sammy Smith, then Noah Gregson. Now Noah is running 5 seconds behind this ongoing battle for the lead.
We'll see if Allgaier is just maintaining a gap now over the second place machine of Sheldon Creed. Creed underneath the Van Gisbergen lap machine. He's got open track and about 5 car lengths of deficit.
Sheldon Creed completes the pass on the lap traffic, and he's got a clear shot at race leader Justin Allgaier. Allgaier's got about maybe 3 or 4 seconds before he catches a huge pack of lap traffic.
He will indeed, and I got a feeling, Mike, he will have to deal with those lap cars before the checkered flag flies, as we're down to 10 laps to go. There are 5, 6, 7 cars in front of race leader Justin Allgaier, but Dave, he's got bigger problems as Sheldon Creed is now on the bumper.
Yeah, that 5-car length advantage for Allgaier is down to about 3.5 now, as Sheldon Creed just throwing everything at him in every corner, trying to catch the leader. They'll race their way off 2 to the backstretch.
Here they come now. Lap traffic again on the horizon for race leader Justin Allgaier as the atmosphere continues to change here at this end of the racetrack. Creed again shutting down the distance. It's down to 5 car lengths. It's down to 4 car lengths in a battle for the lead.
9 to go. Who wants it more? Justin Allgaier, who's never won here, or Sheldon Creed, who has never won at this level? Across the line, 4 car lengths separation, and the caution flag flies as they come across the start-finish line.
Trouble turn 2, I believe, is Cole Custer. All I can see is the very back of the car. Or no, it's Kyle Weatherman, also a black and white car. He really walloped the wall about midway coming out of turn number 2. He has quickly climbed out of that machine and gone to the front of it. A big lick for Kyle Weatherman, and like we needed one more thing to change here at the tail end of this one.
Well, that'll now enable these teams to know that they are good on Sunoco fuel now. With the caution flag here, they can shut the engine off and simply coast around before it's time to refire and go try to get this checkered flag.
Under the caution flag with 8 to go, it's our 8th caution flag. Allgaier, Creed, Sammy Smith, John Hunter, Nemechek, Noah Gregson. Back with more in a moment.
Blue Green Vacations, the official vacation ownership provider of NASCAR, invites you to believe in the power of vacation. With Blue Green, you can create the vacation that fits your lifestyle, sharing a lifetime of memories at a collection of unique, locally inspired resorts and popular destinations across the U.S. Blue Green owners also enjoy exclusive access to VIP NASCAR packages that deliver the thrill only NASCAR can provide. Start your vacation journey today at BlueGreenVacations.com.
NASCAR fans, the time is now to turn your love of racing into free tickets, merchandise, VIP experiences, and much, much more. Rack up fan rewards points by watching races at home, playing fantasy, completing challenges, and visiting tracks. Then redeem your points for epic prizes. You are in the driver's seat. What are you waiting for? Sign up for the free NASCAR Fan Rewards Loyalty Program today at NASCAR.com/fan rewards.
Can Justin Allgaier complete the deal and take it to victory lane for the first time here? Or what about Sheldon Creed looking for his first career win in a NASCAR Xfinity Series car? We'll find out together next from Michigan International Speedway. This is the Motor Racing Network, the voice of NASCAR.
NASCAR history.
Denny wins his 200th career NASCAR victory.
Told by the people who made that history.
President Reagan was there. He got us on the front page, and we got him in the sports page. It was a good trade-off from that standpoint.
Motor Racing Network's NASCAR Live presents podcast The Road to Royalty. Jeff Gordon, A Colorful Career, 50 Years of MRN, The 1993 Season, Junior's Journey, and more. Search for NASCAR Live on your favorite podcast platform.
From tickets, parking, and travel, race weekends can be stressful. Let Racing Electronics make communication easy. With a scanner and EasyTalk intercom system rental from Racing Electronics, you can effortlessly talk over the noise of the race. Hear uncensored driver and crew communication from every team in the race, or tune into the race broadcast with your favorite MRN announcers. To learn more, visit RacingElectronics.com today.
Tomorrow, it's the NASCAR Cup Series Firekeepers Casino 400. Motor Racing Network's coverage begins at 1:30 Eastern from Michigan International Speedway.
This may be the most exciting caution laps you're ever going to hear on the Motor Racing Network, and here's why. Six laps to go. When Allgaier comes around, we understand he's low on fuel. We also understand it's sprinkling in turn number three. We look at the radar, and certainly there is rain right here on top of us. All of a sudden, we got drama. And we're under the yellow flag doing 65 miles an hour.
Yeah, we are. And we know that the majority of the top runners have been nursing the fuel. And I don't think anybody is going to come to pit road right now. If they do, Todd, what do you think?
No.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
This. If you thought you could make it to the checkered flag, this is just buying you laps to get there. Every two laps that you run here, you gain another lap on the long run, as long as you're in fuel save mode, which means getting a squirt of momentum, shut the engine off, pushing the clutch in, and just letting it coast. And then you turn it back on and fire it back up. There are guys coming to pit road, though.
Yes, there are, and we will cover those stops. Here comes Chandler Smith. As he makes his way down in front of Ryan Sieg and Parker Kligerman, the top five running cars staying on the racetrack. Posty, all of a sudden, fuel cells beginning to run dry.
Chandler Smith was very close on fuel, and the handling on that race car was not to his liking. He just talked about how he had no maneuverability. He actually was lobbying during the green flag run to come down and pit and get some fuel, and they said, well, you can do that, but you'll be a lap down. And so he kind of stayed with it. So this caution allowed them to come in, take care of the fuel, and maybe work on the handling of the car. But, boy, they give up a ton of track position. Ryan Sieg was in. Parker Kligerman was in getting fuel as well. How about Chris Wilner in front of you? Were there any of the drivers down there?
Just had Blaine Perkins on my end for fuel only and a little bit of an adjustment. But right now over the radio, Justin Allgaier's next decision, as if he's not busy enough trying to save fuel under caution, is which lane to choose, inside or outside here if we get back going green. All discussions lean toward the outside, but we shall see. They're leaving it up to Allgaier, Lil Gator, to make this decision here when we come back under green.
And I don't think this is a bad thing for the guys that just stopped here. When you look at it, we've got so many guys that are up against their fuel window. We saw this at Nashville with the Cup Series. Once you got these late restarts, you had people that ran out of fuel. You had situations that stacked up. We could see multiple green-white checkers here just with guys with fuel strategies. If you're not in the top two or three rows, I could see coming and putting tires on and being in a position to take advantage of later restarts.
There's still a handful of races in the Xfinity regular season, but it's not too soon to start thinking about points with Sammy Smith especially. Sammy Smith and Ryan Sieg are tied for the last spot, the 12th and final spot, to get into the playoffs. Now, Sammy Smith's going to stay on the racetrack, obviously. He's being scored in the third spot. Ryan Sieg elected to come to pit lane this last time around, and he's going to give up a ton of track position, but he knows for sure he'll be able to go to the advertised distance.
More than likely, Alex, we're going to be down to maybe three to go, perhaps less than that. This is playing into the hands of Justin Allgaier, who Chris Wilner had said, or Postman had said, that they were concerned about how much fuel they have. We're running lap after lap right now under the caution flag, so whatever Justin has, he will burn on a short run unless we go into green-white checkers over and over and over again. Let's get a weather update outside turn number three. Mike Bagley's been there. That has been the spot that has been hit first time and time again. What's the latest from your vantage point, Mike?
It is sprinkling here in turns three and four. It's nothing major. It's just a sprinkle, no downpour by any means, but the atmosphere is continuing to change here at MIS.
And we're going to go down to four laps to go next time by as we're continuing on, clicking off laps under the caution flag. This is going to make NASCAR have to make some sort of a decision here. Do we go ahead and roll this thing out and force an overtime here because it is still sprinkling? Do they come to pit lane and put a red flag out? But I think we just got word from NASCAR what the scenario is going to be.
We did indeed. One to go at the line. There will be three laps to go to wrap this thing up here this afternoon at Michigan International Speedway. Hopefully you've enjoyed our broadcast live on the Motor Racing Network, the NASCAR Xfinity, Series has been putting on a show, and now they waved it off, and it may have something to do with the precipitation. Bagman, because it's ever-changing, as you pointed out. Are we getting more out there?
Yes, we are. It has just picked up here in the last 30 seconds or so. Not a downpour by any means, but those sprinkles have turned into a drizzle, and it is quite consistent out here right now.
So, Dave Moody, that's been the report from Mike Bagley over there in 3 and 4. What about over there in turns 1 and 2 where you are?
Unfortunately, same story here, Alex. We've been a little behind Mike's weather forecasts here, but it is now sprinkling a pretty consistent and a pretty serious sprinkle. If I were NASCAR, I'm not sure I'd turn them loose either.
Well, I'm sure that Justin Allgaier right now is probably saying it's a monsoon out my front window, and right behind him, Sheldon Creed is saying it's not raining at all, Alex.
Yeah, you're right about that, but an interesting part now is the third place car, Sammy Smith, in turns 1 and 2, went all the way down to the flat apron of the racetrack from the number 3 spot, which, Todd, is perfectly legal.
It is, and it's one of those things. The fuel pickups in these fuel cells are back in the back right-hand corner of the fuel cell. Well, if you drive around this 18 degree of banking at 65 miles an hour, all the fuel runs to the left side of the cell. If you at speed, it would be to the right, but as slow as pace car speed is, it would uncover the pickup. It'll make you starve for fuel. So running down on the flat, making sure that that little bit of gas they've got left in the cell, they can still pick it up.
Yeah, he's down there again in turns 3 and 4. Sammy Smith, we're talking about running on the flat, running on the apron, making sure that all the fuel, what's left of the fuel on board his Chevrolet Camaro, is getting. So we're going to still go another lap, Alex. No indication that we're going to go back under the green flag. We'll get another weather update in a moment. The choose at some point is going to come into play. Do you start on the outside of row 1 or the inside of row 1? What would Justin Allgaier think? What would he do? Let's find out. Postman?
Well, Justin Allgaier is the first one that has the choice, and we're going to see what he does. The one that I'm listening to is Sheldon Creed in the second spot. The options, pull down and start alongside of Justin Allgaier. The assumption is Allgaier is going to start on the outside. That has been the fastest spot, the best spot over the course of the race. So the question to Sheldon Creed is, do you think you can outrun Justin Allgaier come off from turn number 2 ahead of him? They feel like, and the communication is that their teammate John Hunter Nemechek would go down there. Now, the outside has been more advantageous, and they feel like that they could ride behind Justin Allgaier. The problem is, with only 2 laps, do you have enough time to clear whoever starts on the inside and take a shot at Allgaier? Stay tuned. This is going to be interesting to see, but Sheldon Creed, his crew chief Sam McCauley, just said, I know we're throwing a lot at you here. This is big-time NASCAR racing, and there's a lot that goes into this decision. A lot goes into it. I think Justin Allgaier might have an easier decision. I think Sheldon Creed might be the one that has the most difficult decision.
Another piece that'll go into this decision-making for these different teams is that if you pick the inside lane, you can go down to the flat, as we've seen these cars doing. Justin Allgaier is actually down on the apron now, just trying to keep fuel coming to it. If you pick the inside lane on that lap coming to the green flag, you can be down on the apron, getting fuel back on the pickups. If you're in the outside lane, you can't get off the banking.
2 things. Number 1, we are officially going to overtime here. The caution flag is going to stay out. The other thing, Jeff, looking down below us in the grandstand, that's not a good sign.
No, they are scattering for cover. It is raining here along the front straightaway, and a number of people grabbing anything they can to cover up, including making their way down the grandstands to seek shelter underneath. So obviously the front straightaway here has been hit with a pretty good round of rain. Quickly back out. I guess, Dave, let's just start with you. Outside turn number 2. Update from you on the weather.
Yeah, it's coming down a little harder now, Jeff. It's almost out of the sprinkle category for sure. Sure would love to get this one back underway, but I don't think Mother Nature's going to cooperate, at least for the next few minutes.
Well, Mike Bagley, what's the latest over there in turns 3 and 4?
It's not good, Alex. We are getting hit pretty hard, and we have almost lost the racetrack over here in turn 3. This started about a minute ago, and we are getting it pretty hard over here right now.
All right, Baggy, thank you very much. Again, Moody and Baggy in the corners today. Dave outside turn 2, Mike outside turn 3. NASCAR has told the teams to bring the cars down pit road when they make their way off of turn number four. So we're going to see Allgaier follow the pace car down pit road. Sheldon Creed will follow. Sammy Smith, John Hunter Nemechek, Noah Gregson. That is your top five. Under the caution, Taylor Gray, sixth, Austin Hill, A.J. Allmendinger, Anthony Alfredo right now is ninth under caution, and Jeb Burton would complete the top 10.
Well, the radar still shows the cell over top of Michigan International Speedway. That is confirmed with the rain. And Todd, the track, which is typically a light gray in color when it's dry and raceable, is now dark gray, which means this racetrack is completely wet.
Yeah, to look at how dark it's gotten and to watch some of the in-car as we've had that played in front of us, you can see that there's precipitation. As Dave Moody talked about, it's past a drizzle and it's to rain. Racetrack has lost its grayness. It's black, and at this point, it's going to take an effort to get this dried up.
Yeah, and we'll have to just wait and see what they're going to do. The rain moves in quickly, then moves out. But when you lose the racetrack, that just means you've got a lot of work to do. Justin Allgaier is a 24-time winner at this level. Alex Hayden, you know him well. You know how much he wanted to win here at Michigan, something he's never done before. He sits in that position right now as it's raining here at Michigan.
Yeah, he has, and this could be, if as we now officially go under the red flag, this could be a big win to give this team an extra shot. They won earlier this year at the Darlington Raceway, but this could be potentially a win to break the tie for 10th that he has right now and take over sole possession of that position. So, you know, when you think about Justin Allgaier, this has been a driver that started, ran the Xfinity Series, got the opportunity to run with some less funded teams in the NASCAR Cup Series, and then when the opportunity presented itself, along with Illinois-based Brandt Professional Agriculture and Rick Brandt and that entire team there to team up and say, you know what, we can have a lot of success with the budget in the NASCAR Xfinity Series. And they said, okay, let's go do that. Found a home with Junior Motorsports, and they have been outstanding. They've done just about everything you can do there except for win a championship. But you got to think that this team is good enough year after year that they can get the job done. They just need to put together a solid playoff run, including the championship finale.
And, you know, you go back and you look at the win that they had at Darlington, and that really catapulted this team. They got off to a very inconsistent start of the season with only four top tens in the first 10 races before winning at Darlington. They have been flat out on a roll ever since. He's at the front of the field under the red due to Mother Nature. How does it play out? Stay with us. We'll know shortly.
I went hands-free.
I went hands-free.
I went hands-free.
I went hands-free with Skechers Slip-ins.
Join the millions of people who are celebrating going hands-free with Skechers Slip-ins. Footwear you just step into and they're on.
It's crazy how something as simple as a pair of shoes have made my life better.
After trying Skechers Slip-ins, I want all my shoes to have this technology. See what everybody can't stop talking about. Go hands-free with Skechers Slip-ins at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
What gives Cabo Wabo its full flavor? 100% Blue Weber Agave. And as the official tequila partner of NASCAR, it's only fitting that Cabo Wabo brings its bold taste to the Michigan International Speedway for the Cabo Wabo 250.
The NASCAR Xfinity Series in action at Michigan International Speedway.
Get the boldest cocktails and experience quality tequila made with 100% Blue Weber Agave. Try a Cabo Wabo smoke show or Cabo Rita cocktail with friends while you're there.
Under the red flag, two laps shy of the advertised distance, Mother Nature moved in and moved out. We do have blue sky above us. Now the question is the racetrack and the condition that it's in. Justin Allgaier right now still on board his race car. All of the cars are on pit road. We'll give you an update on the track conditions when we come back from Michigan International Speedway. This is the Motor Racing Network, the voice of NASCAR.
You crave power. You bleed speed. You live for the roar of the crowd and the taste of victory. But your ride is holding you back. Ignite your engine soul with E3 spark plugs. The same spark that fuels NASCAR champions unleashes explosive power in your ride. Don't just dream of speed. Make it your reality. Find E3 at your nearest auto parts store. E3 Spark Plugs. E3, what are you running?
From the infield garages to the race shops, NASCAR Hot Pass is your all-access ticket to the latest news from the sport.
Well, we got them down. Now we put our foot on them. And that's the attitude you got to have.
I don't think it's a move that can have any success at Martinsville. I still don't know why it worked.
Stay up to date with all of your favorite drivers all year long.
Get to the Final Four is what every driver in NASCAR's goals are.
NASCAR Hot Pass, weekday mornings from the Motor Racing Network.
Tomorrow, it's the NASCAR Cup Series Firekeepers Casino 400. Motor Racing Network's coverage begins at 1:30 Eastern from Michigan International Speedway.
Glad to have you with us here live on the Motor Racing Network. It is quiet for the moment. That may change, and it may change sooner than later because track drying is underway. Rain has moved out. Radar is clear. Blue sky above. Jets are blowing over in turn number 3, and they're making a significant impact, Alex. Again, there's a difference between, let's say, a flat-out Daytona monsoon where you've got puddles standing everywhere and what we've had here this afternoon.
Yeah, there is, and this is just that pesky stuff that frustrates you. It's just part of it, and the fans have turned out. They want to see a finish here, especially now that we've gone into overtime. This could be a thriller. Throw in the fact that we saw Justin Allgaier and Sammy Smith running on the apron under this caution, meaning that they are low on Sunoco fuel. So there's a lot of factors in at play here, and we still have plenty of daylight here in Michigan to be able to get this track dry and run the overtime. So I think NASCAR doing yeoman's work along with the track staff here, you got to do this. You got to make the effort with the clear radar and a very small cell that's already moved away from the racetrack. You got to make the effort now to go ahead and get this race finished and get this overtime complete.
MIS President Joe Fowler and his team and staff here are doing everything they can for the fans along with NASCAR and those officials that make these decisions. We see the jet blowers making a huge impact on the racetrack up in turn number 3. Todd, you take a look around this racetrack, and I know it's a special place for a lot of people. You look at the campground. We know we're going to have a big crowd here tomorrow. This is just a cool place to come and race, and obviously the fans agree when you take a look at another packed infield here at MIS.
Yeah, definitely one of the, I mean, this is one of the iconic infields of the NASCAR circuit. They come out to fill this whole thing. Got a great little rainbow sit up here now as that rain has moved its way off the backstretch here. But yeah, it's really cool to see everybody show up here, and they're here for a great event. And we're gonna get, I think, to Alex's point, I think we're gonna get green white checker to see where this one ends up, and we've got a great one coming up tomorrow as well.
Yeah, we do. And matter of fact, not just one, we've got a double rainbow going on over the back straightaway here. So while the fans know they can't watch race cars at the moment, they can certainly get the cameras out and get some pretty good nature shots over the back with the Michigan International Speedway in the foreground. You know, it's frustrating. It really is. But that's just part of it sometimes when you race on big super speedways and you happen to have those late summer showers that come overhead, which, by the way, if you're thinking about joining us next week in Daytona, please do. Handful of tickets remaining for the Coke Zero Sugar 400 down there in Daytona. Big weekend of racing set to go. We'll have it for you live here on the Motor Racing Network. But go ahead and buy a ticket or two. Come down and join us at the World Center of Racing. It promises to be outstanding and highly exciting with so much on the line there. And the only thing I don't want down there is rain. I've had enough.
We have had enough to last us the rest of the year. When we are done in Daytona, we are going to move north to Darlington, and that's a big day for everybody, Alex Hayden, because when we get all said and done there, we will know the 16 drivers, as we transition for a moment to the Cup Series, we'll know the 16 drivers that will race for a Cup Series championship.
Yeah, we will. And this weekend's a big one, because knowing that Daytona is such a crapshoot, that anybody that takes the green flag does indeed have a chance to win that race by surviving that thing, then that makes this race here, the Firekeepers Casino 400 tomorrow, that much more important to try, if you haven't already, to lock yourself in.
Yeah, you want to here, and you have that last-ditch effort of Darlington after Daytona to get yourself to that point. If you're near the cut line, you've got to plan on, right now, for tomorrow's race, you've got to plan on a new winner next week at Daytona. So you've got to be looking at this as, where can that be, and where can the appeal from the three car at RCR end up? So that's all got to play in. There's a lot of things you don't know. The best way to get out of that mix, go win a race tomorrow.
We'll find out if that happens. Denny Hamlin will lead the field of the green flag. Remember that our airtime begins at 1:30 Eastern time. Mike Bagley and the crew with Steve Post and Chris Wilner will have NASCAR Live Race Day for you. They will take us all the way up to the green flag in the Firekeepers Casino 400. We're trying to close out the Cabo Wabo Tequila 250 as we sit under the red flag, headed to overtime under blue sky and sunshine.
What gives Cabo Wabo its full flavor? 100% Blue Weber Agave. And as the official tequila partner of NASCAR, it's only fitting that Cabo Wabo brings its bold taste to the Michigan International Speedway for the Cabo Wabo 250.
The NASCAR Xfinity Series in action at Michigan International Speedway.
Get the boldest cocktails and experience quality tequila made with 100% Blue Weber Agave. Try a Cabo Wabo Smoke Show or Cabo Rita cocktail with friends while you're there.
Deep in the heart of racing country lies a track too tough to take. The perfect setting for the late season drama of the Southern 500.
Outside lane gets the launch.
One last chance to make a playoff push.
Yeah!
One last chance to catch regular season racing.
All clear, all clear.
One last chance to plan a Labor Day weekend worth bragging about.
Southern 500, baby.
NASCAR weekend at Darlington Raceway, August 31st and September 1st. Get your tickets now at darlingtonraceway.com.
With the thoughts of going back under the green flag here, once the track is ready to go, it has these teams scratching their head already, trying to figure out just how much fuel they have, how long can their driver run. We'll update you on that when we come back from Michigan International Speedway. This is the Motor Racing Network, the voice of NASCAR.
Drivers, start your engines!
Your home for the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series.
Green flag goes in the air and we are underway.
The Motor Racing Network.
Two by two by two, they're about 10 rows deep of double wide racing. Taylor Gray to the bottom, Nick Sanchez outside, and they're crashing mid-pack.
The voice of NASCAR, the Motor Racing Network.
Checkered flag is in the air and Corey Heim has scored the win.
Daytona always brings the drama.
Everything's on the line. The risk will be higher.
Three wide.
Look how insane this is.
Gunning to keep playoff hopes alive. Oh. It's now or never.
It's the most stressful night of racing that you'll ever go through.
For an unforgettable weekend of family fun, high wattage star power, and a front row seat full of fireworks. NASCAR weekend at Daytona International Speedway, August 23rd and 24th. Get your tickets now at DaytonaInternationalSpeedway.com.
Tomorrow, it's the NASCAR Cup Series Firekeepers Casino 400. Motor Racing Network's coverage begins at 1:30 Eastern from Michigan International Speedway.
Blue sky, sunshine, nice breeze, perfect. Saturday afternoon, working towards Saturday evening. I guess we've already crossed that threshold as it's 6:36 here in the Eastern time zone. So good evening to everybody. For those of you that are hanging with us, we're headed to overtime. The question becomes, Mike Bagley, the cleanup needs to get completed, and then we'll open up pit road. There's a lot to get to, but we can't do anything until we're buttoned up over in front of you.
Exactly. Looks like that the track is dry. The safety teams have come to apply some speedy dry to mop up or sop up some fluid that has been laid onto the racetrack. They have applied the speedy dry. They have come through with the Elgin sweeper. Now the jet dryer has made its way through as well. And right now safety teams are attending to this part of the racetrack. They have everything buttoned up for the most part. Looks like they're going to make maybe one more pass, and we should be good to go.
Outside of that, the Toyota Tundra track drying team is taking their place back behind the wall, so that's even better news. Racetrack is dry. It's ready to go, as Mike reported, a little fluid put down over there in turns 3 and 4 needs to be taken care of, and very soon we'll get these cars fired back up. Good news and bad news for some of these drivers, Jeff, who are low on fuel. You want to fire the engine and complete the race, but you don't want to fire the engine and just sit around either.
Who has enough fuel to go the distance and see the black and white checkered flag? We're going to start with race leader Justin Allgaier. What's the situation there? And Chris Wilner can explain.
Yeah, Jeff, I just got off of the pit box talking to crew chief Jim Pullman, and I said, okay, with the red flag conditions, we're going to obviously go back under yellow. What is the fuel situation aboard the 7 car? He said, you know what? We just need to get to the white flag. We're going to probably be close, if not out of fuel, if we go to another overtime restart, because it's going to take at least a couple laps of yellow before we go back underway. So it's fuel position critical if we don't get to the white flag for Justin Allgaier. They've instructed him to go in low fuel protocol mode, meaning getting every ounce of fuel into that pickup under the caution flag as the engines refire here on pit road. So low fuel protocol, but again, for Justin Allgaier, it's just get to the white flag and then we'll be okay. Steve Post, what about down by you?
Well, I was going to catch a word with Sam McCauley, Sheldon Creed's pit crew chief, but they just have given the signal to fire the engines, and they are watching what they're monitoring, and it's exactly what you just said, Alex. They've told the teams to fire the engines. Well, nobody wants to fire the engines. So some of the backmarkers who have good fuel have fired the engines. And so now, actually right now, Sam McCauley is just watching the pace car and told Sheldon Creed to fire it up, and the pace car is rolling. They are really low on fuel, and I think they're in worse shape. I think Chris did a great job describing where Justin Allgaier is. Sheldon Creed has probably less than that, at least if we looked at the numbers. So stay tuned. Going to be interesting to see how this plays out.
It will indeed, as the field is refired and we'll pull on the racetrack. Now, here's the procedure that we're going to go by here for this overtime. Field is now behind the pace car, exiting the pit lane. When they come back around, we'll get the one-to-go signal, which means we're going to go two laps here under this particular caution, the one to go, and then we have green, white, checker. You heard Chris Wilner reference the fact all you got to do is get to the white flag the first time. Reason being is because if the leader takes the white flag, the next flag will end it, whether it's the yellow or the checkered flag. However, if a caution comes out, once we take the green flag, then we have to re-rack them and do it all over again if the leader does not get to the line to take the white. So that is overtime here in NASCAR racing, and when you are exceptionally low on fuel, it's got to make you just sick to your stomach right now.
Todd, let's talk about fuel pickup one more time. I know you and Alex discussed it a few moments ago. Again, we see the front-running cars running right down on the apron. Let's talk about inside that fuel cell. We know the fuel is running dry. Where is the fuel pickup point, and what do these drivers need to do to get every last drop out of it?
So within the fuel cell itself, it's probably, I don't know, it's 30 inches wide and 18 inches deep, but the fuel, there's a corner in it that has two vertical sides and doors that will let fuel in but trap it in there to hold it in that right rear corner. That's where the fuel pickup for the fuel system is. So if you've got only 1 gallon left, you hope to get all that gallon through those doors in, trapped in that one corner where the fuel pickup is. If it works out well, that's perfect. But that's why you see these guys make the big adjustments, the big moves with big left turns, is to try to force that fuel to flow its way back into that back corner through those doors into that kind of pickup area where the fuel pickup comes from.
So here we are. Time to choose. If Allgaier chooses the outside lane, that means he's going to have to do the entire lap on the top side of the banking away from not being able to get down to the apron of the racetrack. And Allgaier does do just that. Second place Sheldon Creed will also go to the outside lane.
And so will third place running John Hunter Nemechek will go to the outside lane. Sammy Smith inside row one. So it's going to be Allgaier and Sammy Smith side by side when we cut them loose when they come back around. Noah Gregson and Sheldon Creed will make up row number two. Boy, you know Noah Gregson has nothing to lose in this fight. And he is going to be hammered down, and you got to believe he's going to be aggressive.
Yeah, you absolutely do. The question is going to be what happens when the green flies. Did everybody get enough fuel to the right rear? Because once you choose inside or outside lane, that establishes those lines, and you're not allowed to change lanes until past the start-finish line. That includes right now getting all the way back around here to the green flag.
Lights out on the pace car. Midway down the back straightaway. The crowd here at Michigan on their feet. That's no surprise. Great fans here at Michigan. Everybody trying to get a vantage point for this one. Do you have enough fuel? Do you have what it takes to go just 4 miles, assuming we stay under the green flag? It is Justin Allgaier. He's ready to go outside of row number one, working down on the apron to his inside. That is Sammy Smith. We are headed to overtime. The Cabo Wabo Tequila 250 at Michigan, ready to go into overtime.
Here they come, the shadow from the grandstands, blocking the sunshine right now on the front stretch into the Geico restart zone. Green flag is in the air. Does everybody have enough fuel to get through the gearbox? Right now, the answer is yes. Junior Motorsports Camaros occupy the front row as we head to one.
Nobody getting the advantage, high or low right now. Justin Allgaier trying to rim ride on the outside. Smith hugging the bottom. It's Smith with a bit of an advantage. Half a car length. He tries to drift up. Allgaier is there. He keeps his foot in the door.
Side by side for the lead. Everybody is at speed. Midway down the back straightaway. Allgaier's going to get the advantage. Sammy Smith gets the shuffle backward in the middle. It's Allgaier with the lead. Here comes Noah Gregson. He's up alongside Creed for second as Allgaier pulls away.
Austin Hill is right there as well. They're going to go three, maybe four wide for second, but up front, white flag is in the air. Justin Allgaier, 2 more miles, 1 more lap. Justin Allgaier for the final time to one.
He's got all the daylight he needs. Does he have enough fuel to hang on to it? Justin Allgaier by 5 car lengths, right down to the bottom of the racetrack through turns 1 and 2. 5 lengths over Sheldon Creed, 2 more to John Hunter Nemechek.
Meanwhile, they're side by side for fourth, halfway down the back straightaway, half a lap to go. Justin Allgaier up front with a 3 car length lead. But now they're crashing on the back straightaway. One car gets turned and into the outside wall as Allgaier leads them back to the corner.
Caution flag is out. We got a car upside down rolling into the grass in turn number 3. That's Kyle Sieg. Justin Allgaier with the caution flag in the air along with the checkers. He will win the Cabo Wabo Tequila 250 at Michigan International Speedway. Allgaier wins it. Sheldon Creed second. John Hunter Nemechek third. Anthony Alfredo fourth. Noah Gregson comes home fifth. Mike Bagley, back out to you.
It was Carson Quapple that got turned into the outside wall. Kyle Sieg spun to the inside, and the car began to flip violently. Safety crews are on the scene right now. That car came to rest on all 4 wheels. Kyle Sieg being tended to right now after a wild end-over-end, side-over-side flip at the end of the back straightaway.
And this race is official. It's over. Justin Allgaier, for the 25th time in his career, has picked up the win. Let's go to pit road.
The celebration is underway, Jeff, in the Junior Motorsports pit box. Crew chief Jim Pullman called the shots on lap 69 to top off. I know we talked about fuel, but it was still come down to a late race restart. How proud of you or your driver for hanging in there with all these adversity and variables today?
Yeah, for sure. It's no fight attitude. This race team has it from top to bottom, and it's pretty cool to get a win here at Michigan. So really proud of everyone.
All right, that's Jim Pullman. Go celebrate with your crew. Congratulations. What a job. And again, it came down to that top off of fuel. He had enough at the end, and Justin Allgaier, they wanted a redemption from last year. They got it here at Michigan.
They absolutely did. Justin Allgaier is the winner in the Irish Hills of Michigan.
When you were young, all you wanted in the summer was an ice cream truck to roll by. Now, you just can't wait for the Harbor Freight parking lot sale to roll around. And it's here. Stop in this weekend to save big. Maybe you're looking to fill up that tool chest. Maybe you're looking for a tool chest to fill up. You'll save money either way. Whatever you do, do it for less at Harbor Freight. Valid until August 18th, 2024. While supplies last. Limitations apply.
What gives Cabo Wabo its full flavor? 100% Blue Weber Agave. And as the official tequila partner of NASCAR, it's only fitting that Cabo Wabo brings its bold taste to the Michigan International Speedway for the Cabo Wabo 250.
The NASCAR Xfinity Series in action at Michigan International Speedway.
Get the boldest cocktails and experience quality tequila made with 100% Blue Weber Agave. Try a Cabo Wabo smoke show or Cabo Rita cocktail with friends while you're there.
NASCAR Live Race Day continues on the Motor Racing Network.
Back in Michigan, it's all over, and the Mayo Missile is going to celebrate a win. The Hellman's Chevrolet and Justin Allgaier lighting them up down here. He is completely covered in a plume of smoke here at the start-finish line.
And now he'll pop out and salute the crowd, and the crowd will salute back Justin Allgaier for the 25th time in his career. You'll hear from Justin coming up shortly in Victory Lane. Right now, let's catch up with some of our other top finishing competitors.
Sheldon Creed, a second-place finish. Sheldon, you've had so many second-place finishes. Just describe, is this a good second place, or is this a frustrating second place?
This one might frustrate me the most out of all of them so far. I mean, just I had a Joe Gibbs Racing. So we got a DR Super as fast as Xfinity Internet today and led the beginning, got spun there, and rallied back. Just probably too conservative behind the 20 trying to save fuel. I was, you know, a couple of few laps short on fuel there, and the 7 was in a little bit better spot. And once the 7 got around both of us and the 88 pitted, I knew I needed to go. And I probably sat behind the 20 another two laps and then charged. And was running the 7 down, just had a really good car, but yeah, that caution for rain just came at a bad time for us.
So a frustrating second place finish for Sheldon Creed. Let's catch up with John Hunter Nemechek. He is down here chatting with his crew chief down here. John Hunter, a third place run. You're the defending champion of the race. What more did you need to try to be a little bit better today than where you ended up?
That long green flag run and saving fuel. We saved some fuel, and then I just burned the right front off of it before we had that red flag and couldn't get through the middle of the corner. But huge shout out to Pi Barker, everyone at Joe Gibbs Racing. Our Toyota GR Supra was really fast today, as fast as Xfinity Internet. Just needed a little bit more there. I think if we could have stayed in front of the 7 there before we had that red flag, we probably could have won the race. We had the speed to do it, just needed to execute a little bit better on my part, and should have asked for something different, I guess.
John Hunter Nemechek, third place finish here today. Guys, we'll catch up with a few more down here in just a moment.
Yeah, Sheldon Creed, in his 91st Xfinity Series start, now has his 11th second place finish. He's got the most runner-up finishes without a win in Xfinity Series history. Let's go back to Steve Post.
Anthony Alfredo down here with a, look at that, number 5 is number 4 on the scoring pile on Anthony. Tell us how you got that fourth place finish here today.
Oh, well, first off, just thanks to my guys. They work really hard, and we're a small team with a lot less resources than the rest of these guys. I was just saying that we probably beat 10 cars that are spending a lot more than us, and I don't mean a few hundred grand or tens of thousands. I mean millions of dollars. So this Chevrolet Camaro was really fast, almost as fast as Xfinity Internet. The guys give me cars probably a little bit faster than they should be able to, and I like to think that I always run a little bit better than most think I can. So definitely proud of the effort. I felt like we had a top 10 car all day, so I was going to be disappointed with anything less than that. Lined up 9th on that restart and just executed well, went top of 3 wide, got around a few of them, and brought home a top 5. So always want to be staying there in Victory Lane still. You know, I've been close a couple times now, but for a team like ours, top 5s are wins, relatively speaking. So it wouldn't be possible without our partners, and looking forward to next week, but feels good to come back from the break with a top 5.
Good stuff for Anthony Alfredo with a fourth place finish here. See if we can catch up with Noah Gregson down here. Finished in position number 5. And guys, I'm going to have to see where Noah got to, as he is MIA down here.
All right, Posty, we'll keep an eye on you. We'll look for Noah. We're waiting for Justin Allgaier. Another burnout as he heads just to a quick right-hand turn and right into Victory Lane. Justin Allgaier is there carrying mayonnaise on the side, Meyer on the hood, taking Meyer to Victory Lane. That is a local grocery store chain throughout the Great Lakes. So that came on board this week in one race and one win for the folks at Meyer. Justin Allgaier behind the wheel, the Junior Motorsports Chevrolet Camaro. Solid run, getting it done out front, doing what he needed to do, managing. I think that's the right word, isn't it? Managing today's race.
Yeah, he led the most laps today, a total of 37, did Justin Allgaier, but to deal with so many different lane choices on restarts, to deal with the couple of red flags we had to deal with. You know what? Why don't we have Justin Allgaier tell us how he dealt with it all day long in victory lane with Chris Wilner.
That's right. He's climbed out of the race car right here in victory lane at Michigan on the front straight. Away, Justin Allgaier, all smiles, fist bumps to the crew. My goodness, Justin Allgaier, I tell you what, just about everything we could get thrown at us in a race was thrown at us today. How did you manage all of that and still find a way to get from deep in the field to picking up your first win here at Michigan?
Yeah, dad jokes, first of all. Anybody that was listening to the radio know what that means. Just thankful for the fans that stuck it out. I mean, this weather's been so hit or miss this weekend, and you know, there's nothing worse than coming to a racetrack like this and having the crowds that we have here and not being able to do anything for them. But just cannot say thank you enough for everybody on this Meyer, Hellman's Camaro. We've called it the Mayo Missile all week, and it's truly been that. The Hendrick Engine Shop, everybody Chevrolet, Jarrett, Brandt, all of our partners, the Hendrick Engine Shop. I mean, just so special. You know, last year we had the dominant car here, and we walked out of here without winning. And sometimes God closes doors that you think are wide open and you don't really know why, and you come back here a year later, and not that it always works that way, but this one means a lot more than it would have last year. And this team behind me, I mean, I just cannot say enough good things about this team. I mean, they're truly incredible. I wish my wife and daughters were here. We had softball this weekend. Hopefully they won, but just so proud of the effort, proud of the team, proud of everybody that's a part of it. I don't think we were as fast as Xfinity Internet down the straightaways, but we were through the corners, and really that's what the difference maker was today.
How big was the fuel save at portions, especially later on in this race? We heard your crew chief, Jim Pullman, talking about low fuel protocols and getting it down on the apron. I mean, just how much are you doing behind the wheel to ensure you've got enough left in the tank?
A lot. We've run out a couple times leading the race this year, and we've worked really, really hard in the offseason. We worked really hard all through the course of this year. Jim Pullman is somebody that has notes for notes, and when he gets burned by something, he makes sure that we don't do it again. And so we're probably a little aggressive on the fuel savings protocol, but really today it was a big difference. You know, he made the call to bring me down 6 or 7 laps after everybody else, and he had the faith that I could get back around those guys, and we did. You know, ultimately, I didn't have to save at the end, and we were able to push pace, and that's really what the difference maker was today.
25 career wins, but first at Michigan. How big is this one to knock this one off the list?
I've been coming here a long time, not only as a fan, but as a race car driver. So many heartbreaks here. This place has been special to me, and like I said, we were so good here last year and didn't get the job done. So when you come to a place like this, manufacturer's backyard, you know, obviously to get Chevrolet and Victory Lane here, there aren't really words to describe it. I said on my TV interview I had to win because I'm now clear of Dale Jr. in all-time win list, but he gets to race Bristol, and I know that he's going to be coming for that number back, but 25 wins when I was 5 years old coming to this racetrack and watching cup cars run around here and ARCA cars and, you know, Busch cars back then. Never in my wildest dreams did I ever think I'd hit that number, and it's been truly special.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Justin Allgaier, the mayonnaise missile with the Hellman's colors, Junior Motorsports in victory lane here at Michigan.
Now, congratulations to Justin Allgaier scoring the win today. Let's hear now from the driver that came home fifth, and his name is Noah Gregson.
Noah Gregson, third start with this Rhett Jones Racing team. 10th at Charlotte, 5th at Nashville, and 5th place here at Michigan. You guys don't run often, but you run pretty good. Describe how you finished in the 5th spot here today.
Yeah, definitely good to have back-to-back top fives. I didn't think we had necessarily a great car all weekend, just kind of struggled. It looked good, though. The Ford Performance, Ford Dark Horse Mustang looked really good. So just need a little bit more. I just would get too tight, and it was too draggy down the straightaway. So we did qualify 12, so we had decent speed, but then we got in the race, and I made some poor decisions at the beginning of the race. Mark Rhett did a great job with the strategy, him and Drew and all the guys on the Rhett Jones Racing team. I want to say congratulations to Junior Motorsports. Getting a win here, their family, like to me, and also big thank you to Terry Jones, Lisa, Mackie, Casey, and everybody on this team. Like you said, we don't get to run very often, but when we do, it's we try to make it worth it, and it's a privilege to be out here. So thanks to all the fans, and we'll go try and contend for one tomorrow.
Worth it. A fifth-place finish. That is Noah Gregson.
Yeah. Class act Noah Gregson down there with a small race team coming home with a top five finish. After Justin Allgaier took the win, Sheldon Creed was second, John Hunter Nemechek was third, Anthony Alfredo fourth, and Noah Gregson fifth. We heard from all five of the top five finishers. Sammy Smith was sixth, Taylor Gray seventh, Matt DiBenedetto was eighth, Cesar Baccarella came home ninth, and Parker Kligerman was 10th.
A.J. Allmendinger was 11th today, Leland Honeyman was 12th, Ryan Sieg 13th, Ryan Ellis 14th. Jeremy Clements finished 15th and Jeb Burton 16th. Shane Van Gisbergen was 17th. 18th, Austin Hill. 19th, Josh Williams. And 20th was Parker Retzloff.
Patrick Emmerling was 21st. Jeffrey Earnhardt, 22nd. Josh Balicki was 23rd. Blaine Perkins, 24th. Logan Bearden was 25th. And Carson Quapple finished 26th. 27th was Chandler Smith. 28th, Kyle Sieg. 29th, Jesse Love. And 30th, Cole Custer.
31st, Joey Gase. 32nd, Kyle Weatherman. Brennan Poole, 33rd. Daniel Dye, 34th. Lawless Allen, 35th. Brandon Jones finished 36th. 37th, Sam Mayer. Riley Herbst rounds out the field. He finished 38th here this afternoon.
So a little bit of everything in today's Cabo Wabo Tequila 250. Todd Gordon, tomorrow the NASCAR Cup Series takes center stage in the Firekeepers Casino 400. Expect the same tomorrow?
I expect a different race, but I expect a lot of excitement and opportunities for different strategies. This is a place that, you know, it doesn't always have to be four tires. Sometimes it's two.